That was a little touch of gospel right there. That's a little bit of a taste of what we get to look forward to during our revival services, because there's a theme every night Cassandra's developed for the music program of the revival services, which include gospel. Gotta love it. So we're going to have a little gospel and among other type of music throughout that week, and we are looking forward to that. Which leads me to the fact that we have a sermon series, Lord willing, that is preparing us for our revival services. And just by way of reminder, the content of this sermon series was gleaned by Star and I at a retreat that we had the privilege of being a part of and going to, a pastor and pastor spouse retreat at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina, about a month ago at this point. And so we're working through some of the content, although this week we started out with the content and it took a different direction throughout this week. But there's a second portion of the sermon series content from the Cove, if you will. I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to get into the familiar verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not unto your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your path. We're going to get there in just a moment. But our text is going to be from verse 1 through 9. And so while we look toward trusting God, we also have some details and descriptions of what it looks like for us to be trustworthy Christians. So we're going to look at it from that perspective this morning. Once again, I invite you now to turn with me to Proverbs 3, 1 through 9. And as we begin in verse 1, it goes on to say this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, beginning in verse 1, which says this. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Let us pray. Father, as has been mentioned already throughout the service, there are many, O Father, that have heavy hearts today for what has transpired in the life of our nation throughout this past week, but also, Lord, for difficult and trying times that I know that some church members right now are experiencing. And there is some hurt and there's some heaviness that is taking place within this congregation. And now, O Lord, I just pray, O Father, that we will experience your healing as we look to you, as we trust in you. And I thank you, O Father, based on the Word of God, that we can trust in you. You are sovereign over all things. And so our trust, our confidence, our hope is in you. Now, O Father, as we put our trust in you, as we examine this passage, I pray, O Lord, that you reveal to us through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit ways in which we can demonstrate with your power and with your strength that we can be trustworthy Christians. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, no doubt about it, we can trust in God. But what does it look like to be a trustworthy Christian, if you will? We'll look at three areas of our life, three characteristics, if you will, that we find in this passage of being a trustworthy Christian. First of all, I believe that one of the character traits that we will demonstrate as a trustworthy Christian is that we will be obedient to the Lord. There's an old song, trust and obey, right? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And how hard is that for us as believers in Christ to carry out a life of obedience? In fact, there's nothing new under the sun. It has also been very difficult for characters within the Bible to demonstrate obedience and complete obedience in their life. For example, as we remember the encounter that Saul, King Saul, referring to, had so long ago with Samuel on one occasion, it came after the aftermath of him being partially obedient, which led to really disobedience. What I'm talking about is a story in which that he, King Saul, had received the command of Almighty God that he was to go out and completely defeat the Amalekites. Now, I know from our perspective, we say, oh my goodness, that seems harsh. But the reality was that the Amalekites were a very wicked people. And so this was an act of God's judgment upon them. They had come to the point where they were going to face God's judgment. And so King Saul was commanded to lead the children of Israel out to exact that judgment upon that nation and to completely wipe that nation out for the sins of that nation. And then we see the interaction between the prophet Samuel and King Saul. See, the Lord reveals to Samuel that there was a problem. You better go up and talk and confront King Saul because he did not follow all of my commandments. And so to make a long story short, it is the prophet Samuel that goes to approach King Saul. And so he approaches him, and King Saul is so glad to see him initially. He thinks he's going to be celebrated for the great victory that he had had. Yet he had not completely obeyed God. The very king of the Amalekites was still alive at that time, King Agag. And then several animals were still alive. They were to be utterly destroyed as an act of God's judgment. But King Saul failed to obey the Lord completely. So what we find is Samuel confronts him and he says, why didn't you do all that you had been commanded to do? And then King Saul, like so many of us do, started making a bunch of excuses. Oh, the animals are going to be used for sacrifices. This will be a great sacrifice to the Lord. But here is the response of the prophet Samuel to King Saul. He goes on to confront him and to reply to his excuse making. He goes on to say this, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to the voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. We're called to obey God completely, entirely, with the call that God has placed within our lives. As we seek out His truth, as we follow Scripture and are guided by the Holy Spirit, He calls us to walk with Him obediently. But many of us would like to make excuses, but what about this and what about that? And come up with some grandiose explanation, some grand plan, but I wanted to do this and that, and that's why I didn't completely obey the Lord. And the cry of the prophet Samuel so long ago resonates to us today. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To be a trustworthy Christian, we must be obedient to the Lord. A second character trait that we see in this passage of being a trustworthy Christian is that we must have a dependence upon the Lord. A dependence upon the Lord. Now, we as Americans, we don't like the thought of dependence. We definitely celebrate the thought of independence. In fact, we celebrate it every July 4th, called what? Independence Day. And of course, it's appropriate to celebrate that great historic event and that gained our independence so long ago. But remember, in our spiritual realm, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're never called to be independent. We're called to be completely dependent upon Him. And if we want to have any spiritual success within our lives, we have to be utterly dependent upon Him. As I often like to cite around here, Zechariah is a wonderful passage that reveals to us that it's not about our might nor by our power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so we are completely, as followers of Jesus Christ, dependent upon the Lord if we want to have spiritual success in our lives and be counted as a trustworthy Christian. We must utterly depend upon Him and rely on His strength, even and especially in our weaknesses. We must depend upon Him. The Apostle Paul addresses this very thing. He, like us, have weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses in some way or another. But the Apostle Paul revealed something that can occur within the weaknesses that you and I face. The Lord revealed to him that in those moments of weakness, and we can all relate to that, He reveals Himself to us in a very special way. Listen to the instructions that the Apostle Paul is receiving and then is penning down, which is incorporated in the Word of God, which had as much application for us as it did for him so many years ago. The Lord revealed to him in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 11, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In our weakest moments, it causes us to bow down on our knees and cry out to the God of all comfort and hope and strength and say, "I need your help. I cannot do it alone. You are my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You are the rock on which I stand on. You are my strength. When I am weak, then I am strong," as we rely on the Lord. So we need the strength of the Lord to experience spiritual victory in our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 points to this, doesn't it? It goes on to say, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." As we rely on God's power and strength, we will then soar and be victorious in our spiritual life. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 4, 28 through 31. Many of us know verse 31, which we're about to get to, but let's lay the groundwork for a moment. In Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, goes on to say these profound words. "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When we rely on God's power and His strength, we can soar spiritually and victoriously. Are you and I relying on God's strength? Are we dependent upon Him? Are we trying to muscle up our own strength? So once again, through this passage, we see that some of the characteristics of a trustworthy Christian, if you will, are that they, first of all, are obedient to the Lord, that they are then dependent upon the Lord. And finally, I believe that in the life of a believer, this passage reminds us that a character trait that we must have and demonstrate is that as a trustworthy Christian, we will have a preference for the Lord. He must be our priority. We must prefer Him over anybody else and every other thing. It is verse 7 through 9 which reminds us that indeed this is a struggle. We will all have the struggle with our sinful nature. Romans references the fact that there is a battle. Romans chapter 6 through 8 talks about this battle that we face as believers in Christ between this old sinful nature and this new nature that we have received by faith in Christ. And so certainly there's a struggle, certainly there's a battle, and are we going to put ourselves first, or are we going to put God first? Are we going to put some other person ahead of our relationship with God, or are we going to put the person of Jesus Christ ahead of all else? Are we going to put our possessions and our priorities ahead of God, or are we going to put Him first? We're reminded that we are to seek Him and His righteousness first, and all these things shall be added unto us. We're to prefer Him. We're to prioritize Him. When we get to that type of position and belief, then we are not going to care if someone else is preferred before us. We're reminded that John the Baptist had this experience. As you might recall, John the Baptist was prophetically talked about. He came and he paved the way for Jesus. Before Jesus ever begins his earthly ministry, John the Baptist has already began a ministry over the baptism of repentance. And so it is that on a fateful day, John the Baptist, as you might recall, is doing his baptisms, and lo and behold, Jesus is coming. And he understands and is fine with the fact that it was Jesus who was paving the way for. You are reminded that as he approaches, John the Baptist feels his unworthiness. And as Jesus instructs him to baptize him, he goes on to talk about that he is not worthy of that. You might recall that, right? But Jesus uses him as an instrument to baptize him, which begins his earthly ministry. You remember that? Shortly after his ministry, the disciples who had followed John the Baptist start leaving John the Baptist. They go start following Jesus and serving him. Shortly after, the crowds that John the Baptist once had start leaving him and following Jesus. And then we see what his perspective was, what his response was. Because when he's asked about this, how can they follow him now? They followed you. You're losing your disciples. You're losing the crowd. Do you remember his response? It is recorded in John chapter 3, verse 30. When he is asked about this dilemma from a human perspective, if you will, he goes on to say, "He must
increase, Jesus, but I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. What would it look like in the life of a believer if we believe that? I got to decrease. I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need a platform. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ is increased, as long as He gets the glory, as long as He gets the praise, as long as He gets the adoration, He must increase. We must decrease. That is an attitude of a trustworthy Christian. So let me ask you something. Follower of Jesus Christ, is that a character trait of you? Do you seek the Lord first and prioritize Him, preference Him above all others? Do you look to Him and say, I don't care about myself, but my mission in life is to love You with all my being, to serve You, to point people to You? Let our lights so shine before men so that they can see the good works for the purpose, right, of glorifying our Father who is in heaven. Is that our priority, the priority of our lives, that He comes before all others and before anything else? That we look at the other people in our lives is very important, but they have to come second to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's challenging, isn't it? That's difficult. But that's what He's calling us to be. For our possessions that the Lord blesses us with, it's His first. Do we look at ourselves, as Dave Ramsey would say, as God's money managers entrusted with this treasure so that we can serve Him? Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. It all belongs to God. He's entrusted us with the possessions that He has given. What is our priority? How are we in our relationships with other people? How are we in our relationship to our possessions? Follower of Jesus Christ, we need to prioritize Him. He must increase in our lives. We must worship the great God whom we serve. Maybe here today, you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What we'll simply say to you today is this, that now is the day of salvation. We have been reminded throughout this week that we do not know that we have another day. That's the reality. I hope that each person here will experience a long life and will be here many more years, but we just don't know. Yesterday, we heard the testimony at the men's conference right up the road of Bible Baptist. As that speaker gave a testimony, he testified of this account that he was aware of one of his friends that had the opportunity to share Christ with this couple. And in his own way, just a regular guy as he described, he had the opportunity to share Christ with him as best he could in a very ordinary way. This young couple that I believe was planning to get married, were engaged, they gave their life to Jesus Christ. He receives a phone call shortly after from the mother of that girl. She says, thank you so much for sharing Christ with them and for them having the opportunity to get saved. You see, on their way home, they are involved in a car accident and were killed. A young couple, full of life, full of the possibility of future, did not know that there was a final
opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ. Is this your last opportunity? I don't know. Don't take that chance. When we have a time of invitation in just a moment, we're going to offer that invitation, which is not really our invitation, it's God's invitation. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you can be saved and you don't have to worry another minute, because when you take your last breath, the Bible says if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have your eternal security and your destination sealed by the mighty Holy Spirit. Have that salvation applied to you. Don't be embarrassed. As we have the time of invitation, we do what is called an altar call. You can have the opportunity to come down the aisle and give your life to Christ. You can give their life to Christ between you and God, and that is fine. But if you want to talk to someone else, I or someone else will be glad to answer any questions that you may have on how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Years ago, there was a lady that came down that aisle and gave her life to Jesus Christ at this altar, if you will. Little did we know that within 5 years, she would suddenly pass away. Her and her husband, which shortly passed away after him, were very young. Their bodies, the remains, are in our church cemetery. I've got good news for you. They're not there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't wait another minute. Life is too short. Make peace with God, follower of Jesus Christ. Live in a way that spreads that good news and that message to others. As a worship team comes forward and as we prepare for our time of invitation, what does it mean to be a trustworthy Christian to you? How has the Lord laid on your heart the importance of carrying out those principles that we have looked at this morning found in Scripture? What does that look like? Is God calling you to be more obedient to Him? Is God calling you to be more dependent upon Him? Is God calling you to prefer Him more and to place Him in priority of your life? Follower of Jesus Christ, what is He laying on your heart? Respond to Him in obedience, whatever that is. If you're here today, you've never seen Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, be obedient to His calling upon your heart, for He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the wages of sin is death. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Place your faith in Him. You will receive this glorious salvation we have talked about. Let us pray. Father, as we approach this time of invitation, we ask your dedication upon it. Once again, we understand that it's all about you. It's not about us. But you have a message to us, and you're calling us to respond in obedience. So whatever that means and however that is within our hearts and our lives, may we do so and walk obediently with you. Bless this time of invitation. May you increase. May we decrease. May you receive all honor, worship, and glory. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.